It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And first of all, as always, got to thank our sponsors, SeatSitters.com and Artistry by Annette, which, oh, so excited about Wednesday, 2 days from now, the 26th, 3 to 7 p.m. You've got to check out her new location. It's her grand opening celebration. There's going to be demonstrations of her latest services, including the Hydrafacial that we talk about so much, Regenerate, the Cellular Light Therapy, 20% almost off almost every service, Botox for $9 a unit.
$9.
I might get my whole body Botox.
Yes, I think I might too.
$100 off fillers, snacks, and refreshments. It's going to be an amazing night of beauty and fun. And you might just meet a new friend. She's located in the Fountain Walk Shopping Complex at Solis Salons. We're going to put this all up on our website and our Facebook page so you can find her, but you got to check out Artistry by Annette, find out all the great services we've been talking about. Wednesday, 3 to 7 p.m. for her grand opening of her new location.
And if you're familiar with Fountain Walk, it's right next door to the Sears.
Okay.
Right next door to Sears. I went there yesterday. I love her new location.
Really?
Beautiful. So, and it just, I went at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. People in many of the salons already at 9
wow.
o'clock on a Sunday. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, to have the availability to get those appointments done on a Sunday morning.
Exactly.
It was very, very helpful.
All right, well, Lynn, there's something I do need to talk to you about.
Oh, no.
I just said that because I wanted to see how you were going to react.
Oh.
Because our topic today is confrontation.
Perfect.
And apparently, you don't like to be confronted.
No. And when someone says that, I'm always like, what is it? Just say it. I'm a big, speaking of that and how I just said that, I'm a big fan of just ripping the Band-Aid off, though.
Are you?
If someone needs to say something to me, just like rip it off. Let's get right to it. You know,
okay,
no need
but if somebody needs to say something to you,
yeah.
But what about when you need to say something to somebody else?
So it's the lead up that's the worst part for me. You know, thinking about it, worrying about it. But once I'm in it, I just like to cut right to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I, especially when, you know, I manage people, if I called them into my office, it was like it would be setting up like, hey, I'm here to talk about your performance. Like I feel like it's a roller coaster. Like I always hate the ride up to the roller coaster, but once you're at the top of the hill, there's no going back, right? You got to go down.
Right.
That's how I always felt with confrontation. Like if I just say the sentence, that's the hardest part. The first sentence is the hardest part. But once you get it out, it's on the table now, and now you have no choice but to talk about it.
I guess that's true. I'm trying to think about any situations. I think I'm just an avoider overall.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was the type who would just like ignore guys until they broke up with me. Like,
oh, well, I call that the fader outer. Like that's
yeah.
what I was. I never really, not that I had that many opportunities to break up with anybody, but when I did have the little times where maybe I didn't want to continue that relationship, I just kind of fade it. I never wanted to have the conversation that I didn't want to keep doing this anymore because I just didn't want to. I felt it was difficult. I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I didn't want to say the words. Of course, that was when we were much younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten better tools now.
Oh, I've done that with jobs too, though.
Really?
Yeah. Where you just
fade out of the job?
Pretty much.
So they're like, is Stacy ever returning?
If I could have gotten away with doing it completely that way, I would have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of slowly, I think I mentally faded away
mm-hmm.
until it was like, I'm not really here anymore.
Right.
So now it's probably time to quit.
Do you think that you are better handling confrontations personally or professionally?
Probably. Oh, I don't know. Because the fields I've been in, like writing and then, you know, the radio and stuff, it's not like my personal and my professional are very hard to separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, it's not like I'm crunching numbers and I could say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't add those well today. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's I'm my personal and my professional have always been kind of a little Siamese twinish.
Okay.
In the jobs I've had,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Right.
So it's harder to distinguish, I think.
Do you think you've gotten better with age or do you feel like you're pretty much the same as you were in some of your first jobs as you were later in your career?
I think I've gotten better, not with age, but with having more confidence doing it.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about my writing career right now. So I've been working on these short stories. I'm working on a book, and I remember workshopping stories years ago and being very nervous and defensive. And now I'm able to sit down and workshop a story. And if somebody says, this isn't clear, you know, instead of me going, but, you know, or this part doesn't make sense, instead of me going, but that's how it really happened. You don't understand it. Or that's how it is. I'm just like, okay, what's not clear? How can I fix it?
Right.
And so I've gotten much better, but I think that's one of those things that just takes time.
Yeah. Like, even when I just asked you the question, I was thinking, what am I better in myself? And my first answer was, I was going to say professionally, but as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking in my personal life, like if I feel someone's mad at me or there's something to talk about, like I usually call and say, did I do something wrong? Are you mad? Like, I'm better at like kind of trying to address it right away. Whereas I think in the workplace, it takes me much longer to work up the nerve to address it. Because I think in the workplace, they have, because typically what you're doing is you're talking to a supervisor.
Yeah.
Typically, mm-hmm. when you're worried about confrontation. I mean, sure, there's sometimes you're talking to your peers, but in that case, it's a little bit like, can we go grab a cup of coffee and we can talk? But when you're talking to a supervisor, they have that little bit of control, like over, I mean, they're in charge more of like saying, okay, if you don't like it, you can leave. Or, you know, they have that kind of mm-hmm. upper hand.
Yes.
That I feel like when you're dealing with a friend or a peer, it's not like you know that in the back of your mind, they have the upper hand. So if they don't like what you're saying, they can say, okay.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Exactly.
You know, then you're like, okay,
this
well, that
is not
wasn't
working
fair.
Out.
Right. You're like, you know, forget I said anything. I'm just going to go back to my desk. Well, it's too late, Lynn. You know, so it's like, I don't like that little fear. I don't think it's kind of fear, you know, I don't think it's really fair because I know as a manager, like I used to always be like, if you have a problem, please come and tell me. I didn't mm-hmm. ever think like if I didn't like what they had to say, oh, you know, I'm going to hold it against them because I want everyone to feel like they had an open, you know, communication.
I don't
line
feel
to
everyone
me.
Feels that way at work though.
No, I don't feel like they do. Which I know I didn't.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And here I'll give you a little insight. Like my last job, one of the things we had to sit through were air checks, which is basically, so we're on the air live 5 hours every morning. Of course, we're always trying our best. You're always trying to have the best break every time you have one. However, it's 5 hours of live radio every morning. Like it's got its ups and downs. And we would have air checks, which means you sit in the office with your boss and you all have to sit there and listen to one of your breaks.
Oh, that's painful.
Yes. And then our boss would say, well, this didn't work and you should have done this. And then, and I just didn't say anything because every part of me was going, you think I didn't realize the minute the song started what I should have said? But when you're live and in the moment, it's so hard to do that. And I mean, you do try to get better and figure out how to say things correctly live and in the moment. But it was like, you don't think I've already like beat myself up for that 40 times and now we have to do it again?
Right.
Like that always frustrated me.
But at that stage in your career, what exactly are they coaching you on? Because to me, you know, I remember years ago I was watching the Olympics and a ice skater was going on, you know, for her mm-hmm. performance. And in the last second, the coach pulled her over and you could see she was saying something about where she should put her elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying, isn't it a little too late? This poor girl's been practicing for years and years and years. And now you're like in the 11th hour, you're saying, wait, just keep the elbow a little lower. Okay, that's what I, like, you were doing it for so long. What are they possibly telling you at that point? They can't make you think faster on your feet if you did something before, you know, when a song was, you know, queued up. Or I mean, what were they coaching you on?
Well, it was funny because I remember a couple times it was always, you should have one topic per break. You know, one topic, that's all people want to hear. And sometimes, though, when you're talking about things, it just naturally leads to something else.
Like, exactly.
That just led into ice skating.
Right.
Well, I could talk about ice skating all day.
Right.
So we were like, okay, I understand that. Like, yes, maybe we should have ended the break when that topic ended instead of going into the next one. But the next one was also interesting.
Right.
So
did you feel comfortable enough to give your opinion? Like you just... Like, would you say that back to the manager?
Occasionally I did.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, because I think I realized early on that this person was just doing it to do their job with quotes around it and didn't know any other way.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, I see what you think you have to do, so I'm just going to sit here and let you do that, and then I'm going to leave.
Well, you know, I think that another thing that when you're dealing with a manager, you feel like if you don't agree with them, it comes across like disrespectful.
Exactly.
Which, of course, we've all been raised not to be disrespectful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it disrespectful? Or, I mean, that's why another reason I felt like I couldn't, you know, I felt like it was confrontational, because it was never handled correctly. You were doing your job for a long time. I was in my job for a long time. Yeah, you know, once in a blue moon, I might have an idea or a thought that might actually be maybe a better way than they thought we could do it. You know what I'm saying? So why is it bad if I'm offering, you know, my opinion and I'm trying to do it in a very nice way, but they get all defensive and now we're in a confrontation?
I'm curious, Stacey, what do you think would have happened if you would have gone to the manager and said, no, I'm not doing the air checks anymore? It's futile. We don't need to do it. Like, I know what I did wrong when I did it wrong, but I'm a pro. We don't need to do this anymore. Respectfully said that.
Yeah, right. I think he would have said, I have to do them. I know that's what he would have said.
And been like, well, just pretend like we did them then.
Well, right.
Too disrespectful.
The one thing I did get out of them is I know that I can get lazy while speaking. And so I would listen to the air checks, not for what he was listening for. I was listening to make sure I was pronouncing all my words correctly and not being lazy in the way I spoke and not, you know, dropping ings or g's in the middle of words or th's, pronouncing things correctly, because I think that's important. To me, that's what was more important.
Mm-hmm. So you were still getting something out of the air
checks. I was getting something personally out of it.
That makes right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a good way to deal with it, though. Like, you could be sitting there saying, you know, what are you going to be offering me? But then if you take the time and say, you know what, I'm going to get some stuff out of it for myself, making sure I'm pronouncing my words right, things that are important to me, that I can sit here with a pleasant look on my face, listen to his little comments, but at the same time, I'm here for my own reasons.
And I'm not saying he was wrong every time. I'm just saying it felt redundant. It felt like it wasn't really going anywhere. And I would have appreciated, like, okay, hey, we're going to listen to this, and this is what we're going to try and figure out. But it was never... It was just, this is the way it is, so this is the way we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm not very good at confrontation.
Yeah. So I Googled some things on how to handle it to help maybe us and our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one thing is, and I can't agree with this more, bold letters, it says, don't wait. Because isn't it like when you wait, Remy's shaking his head.
Yeah,
yes.
Nodding his head.
I've got a great anecdote about that. I was 21 and I had a job and I was living out of state in Pittsburgh. And it came time for me to move back home. And I didn't tell my boss that I was moving because I was just kind of nervous about it. I was like, I was his guy. I was his Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 type of worker. And so I just kind of put it off and put it off and put it off. He pulls me aside like the last week and he's like, hey, man. Like, I've always treated you really well here.
Yeah.
And I heard through the grapevine that you're moving. So I went ahead and found somebody to cover your shift. He's like, I want this to stick with you. Like, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to learn the lesson. Like, please come tell the person. We've got a good relationship.
Wow.
There's no reason not to. And I was like, man, that really hit home. I was like, I was a jerk for not doing anything about it. But it was a great lesson to learn. And I never forgot it.
I think
that is an important lesson. And I know, my son's working now. And I'm always reminding him, like, okay, when you get your schedule, don't forget you have a doctor's appointment or whatever on this certain day. And he doesn't tell them before. He waits until he gets his schedule. And I'm like, let them know before. It's just, I know it feels like you're going in and saying, I can't work, but it's not. It's saying, I'm not available at this time. I'm happy to, you know, work another day.
But even that, I know as a...
When
I was a teenager, I would get like butterflies in my stomach.
Oh, yeah.
I have to tell them that I can't because, you know, I have this commitment on Saturday and now they're going to be mad at me. And, you know, when really communication, people just appreciate it. And the longer we wait, now it's harder to find someone to replace you.
And I'm thinking about, because, you know, I was a judge for high school forensic over the winter. And I think when I started doing it, it'd be like, oh, I can't help on that day. I feel so bad. And I would put off telling the coach that I wasn't available. It's like, I need to let him know so he can find somebody else. Like me waiting till the last minute is not helping either of us.
No. And so Before I was a sales manager, obviously I was in sales, and I learned, I have an example kind of like Remy's, that changed like the whole way I do things. And I would tell salespeople, and I always like to, you know, coach salespeople with real things that happened to me, not just because I read it from a book or I heard it works for people. It has to be something that I really did. So I had a client, you know, long ago, and I could tell you his first name, his last name, the company he worked for, everything, because it has been ingrained in my brain for over 15 years. Every time he would call the station, if I didn't answer my phone, he would have me paged over and over again, and they would start saying, you know, Jack's on the phone. And every time they'd say it, the whole office went, oh gosh. Because every time Jack would be yelling at me.
Yeah.
So what happens when someone yells at you all the time? It makes you not want to deal with them.
Exactly.
It makes you very uncomfortable. Even though 9 out of 10 times, it was nothing I did wrong. He just didn't like the exact minute his commercial ran or whatever the case would be.
He
right?
was just a yeller.
So one day, I'll never forget, he called me early in the morning and left this message for me. And you know, call me back. And he just had a very gruff voice, right? And so what did I do? I put it off all day. My whole day, I felt like I just had a 20-pound weight on me. I was miserable. Nothing was going my way. And I kept saying, I got to call Jack back. I got to call Jack back. So I was driving. Like, I can totally tell you everywhere. I was driving out to Canton. And I said, when my clock hits 4:30, then I'll call Jack.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I've done that.
4:30 came. My palms were still sweating. So I'm like, when the clock says 4:45, then I'm going to call Jack. Well, it leads to 5:32 p.m. And
at
this point, I say, Lynn, you have to call him. You just have to call him. And then you hope that he's not going to answer the phone, right? So I call him up, and, you know, he starts on me again. And finally I say, you know, Jack, it just came out of me. I wasn't planning this. I said, why do you always have to yell at me? Like, I seem to, you know, be doing everything you're asking for. You come across, so to be honest, it makes me not want to call you back. So that's why I haven't called you back all day. I kind of dread it, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but you make me feel bad. I get an upset stomach. And I swear, from that moment on, every time he called me, it was like, hi, sweetheart, how's it going? Hi, honey. He was so sweet and so nice. He became like one of the nicest guys for me to deal with. It was literally, and I don't mean like life-changing the way of how I handle things.
Yes.
Because I said from then on, I told people, if you have a problem, handle it first thing in the morning. Get it over with.
Yeah.
It's going to make your whole day better.
What's that book? Eat the toad or eat the frog or swallow the frog or.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
There's a book. That's basically the advice.
Okay, yeah.
Get the hard stuff done first.
Change me. It changed me. I felt like because life's short, you know? And when you waste an entire day with this dread, it weighs on your whole psyche and everything.
And it affects everything else.
It affects everything.
And speaking of confrontation, things we don't want to confront,
germs. You're right. I do not want to confront any germs. And so I'm going to talk about seat sitters, but we have some exciting news about seat sitters. They have just now been made available at bedbathandbeyond.com. Yes.
Awesome.
How exciting is this?
You got the seat sitters. Look at you.
Yeah. So seat sitters all came to be because the inventor, Gina, you know, found that she was getting sick or family members or friends were getting sick after they traveled. And she did some research and found out that there are just hundreds and hundreds of germs in an airplane.
Mm.
And again, it's not the airplane's fault. We can't control, you know, people can't control this, but you can't go in there and fumigate every plane that gets done because people are going off and people are getting on. And
we know
sneezing,
they don't have time
sick.
To clean those
and there's
seats
not that
between
fresh
each
air
flight.
Going
yeah.
through. Right. So she came up with the idea of putting seat covers over the seats to kind of put that barrier between you and the germs. Her kits come with the seat cover I mentioned, a tray table cover, 2 sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. You can get all this for under $20, and you can get it at seatsitters.com or now at bedbathandbeyond.com. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member or yourself being sick. Order a seat sitters kit today at seatsitters.com or bedbathandbeyond.com.
Well, I also did some research on confrontation, and the list I saw, the number one thing said, listen. And it reminded me of a story. I went in to negotiate my contract with my manager, and it changed dramatically. Like, I had spoken 6 weeks prior to my manager, and everything was fine, and then I went in 6 weeks later, and suddenly it was 180 degrees different. And you're no raise, blah, blah, blah. It was bad. And I sat there and I was trying not to freak out. And this manager was being very defensive about it. And I just stopped and I listened to the tone. And then finally I said, this must be very difficult for you. And I swear that changed everything.
Like thawed the person out?
Yes. It didn't make the situation any better, but I think it made the conversation a little better. At least a little more comfortable. But usually when people are angry, I think is always fear-based. So when somebody's angry, you know, they're scared of something or they're nervous about something. So if you're in a situation and somebody's angry, it helps me just to listen to what they're not saying.
Right.
Or think, what are they scared about? What do they think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. What is, you know, like, I don't know. But and then try to just maybe go, okay, let's take this down to its basis level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's both come from a place of not being scared and talk about what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you're the person that might be angry, one of the tips that I read about too was maybe write a, you know, journal a page of your emotion.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So you get that anger out, because when you're coming, if you're angry, you're going to come out all guns a-blazing, right? And the other person's immediately on the defense, which is another thing that I share with people. If you are, you know, if you have bad news to share, or if you're confronting someone, if you come across angry, well, the person immediately gets angry and defensive, right?
Exactly.
But if you come across like, hey, there's a situation or an opportunity, and you can still get your point across, but you're using words that aren't coming from a place of anger, they're not going to immediately get, like, they're, you know, anger and blood pressure boiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all in how you start. If you start on that level of a 10, you're going to meet a level 10. It's just because I got to get ready. I mean, we're coming, you know, but if you start on a level that's calm, typically the other person is going to be calm. As long as you don't put them in defensive mode too, I think you can get a lot more accomplished.
I agree. And I think that is so important. And we just, because it's painful. So you want to get it over with.
Yep.
So you put it off
and
it builds and it builds and it builds because you don't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do want to do it, you just want to get it over with quickly. So that makes you talk faster and sound angrier, because listen to how I talk when I'm talking fast.
Yeah.
Listen to how I sound.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I sound angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really not.
Right. And then, like, because I would say a lot of times to people, why are we yelling?
Oh, yeah.
And that, I mean, I had a client one time, you know, different client. I didn't always have crazy clients, but I had one time that was screaming at me. Now, she had an office and I had a cubicle, but we were on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me at one point, do you know how many people are in my office right now wondering, you know, what's going on? And I said, Karen, I don't know, but do you know that I'm in a cubicle and not one person at my office knows that I'm having a heated conversation with you right now? And she was like silent, like didn't even know how to respond to that, because she was screaming and there was no, why are we screaming?
Yeah.
Everything can get done in a normal tone. There's no reason to raise anyone's voice or to get mad. We're all humans. Whatever is the problem, it can be fixed. That's one thing I always come from. Like anything can be fixed. There's a solution for anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why we have to scream and get angry, I don't know. Well, I don't know why people have to do that. But I feel like I've suffered from like people that don't handle confrontation well throughout like my career. Because I've always had, not always, I've had a few good managers in my life that were really good and listened. But then I had others that just couldn't come from a place of, you know, like fear, like you said. Like they just automatically come out on the defense.
Yes.
And there's no coming, you can't talk to them if they're not going to see that there's two sides to everything. Can we just talk it through?
Yeah, and I've found too, like, especially managers, like, you don't know, like, they've got all these other levels going on in their heads. Like, if they're talking to you and confront you so that you quit, well, now they've got to deal with that.
Yeah.
So they've got that going on in their head too. So it's like, which you can manipulate that, because I have.
Well, I find that a lot of managers also worry about the whole, I don't want to look like I'm playing favorites, or I didn't make this decision before, so I can't make it now. And I was always the manager that said, every situation deserves its own, it's different, deserves its own outcome.
Yeah.
I don't just base yours because, you know, Susie didn't get this. Well, maybe Susie didn't have the same exact situation.
And you don't raise your children the same
way.
Like, my children have to be, I have to talk to my children in totally different ways because they're two totally different people, which still shocks me.
Because yeah, me too. They're so, right, two totally different people.
I gave birth to both of them and I raised them both in my house and I don't understand why they're so different, but they are.
Right. Yeah, I have the same thing going on in my house. But and I it's funny because I, now that I think about it, I don't know how each of them handle confrontation, you know, yet well enough. I mean, I think my daughter sticks her feet more in the ground and wants to be like, I'm right. Where my son, I think, kind of starts off like that, but then can listen to the story. Whereas I think my daughter's a little bit more stubborn and won't.
Yeah, my daughter's very talk it through, and my son's like, whatever, and walks away. Like, he's an avoider.
Yep, he's...
Yeah, he got that from his mom.
I had a great one last weekend. The kids were... So my cousin had a birthday party slash graduation party. And there was little kids about 11 years old. That's one of his sons. And my son was 9. Mm-hmm. So they started off playing really nice. But then his friends came over and they were picking on him a little bit. Well, 11-year-olds are different from 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
They tease a lot more. And the 9-year-old doesn't understand it, but he's a big kid. So anyways, they get into it and golf balls were thrown and words were exchanged. And the kids come over and they're trying to, you know, get the parents involved and figure out what's going on. And it's all, he did this and he said that.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I didn't. And I said, hold on a second, boys. I said, look at each other. I go, do you want to roll up your sleeves and fight about it? Want a fist fight?
Oh.
And the look on their face was pure shock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so we're not going to fight about it. So nobody's hurt. Nobody's broken bones. Stand up, look each other in the eye, shake hands, say sorry, and go play.
I love it.
Boom,
yes.
Done. I was like, you don't want to fight about this, do you? They're like, no. All right.
That
well,
is
then,
very good.
Nip it in the bud.
Very good advice.
Yes.
But one thing I will leave as one piece of advice is, in the thing I research, make friends with adversity.
Yes.
Just make, know it, it happens in life. Know that you're gonna, it's gonna, you know, come into situations you have to deal with, learn.
Well, and that's like, I don't know if you saw what I put on our Instagram. Change happens at the end of your comfort zone.
There you go.
That's where change happens.
Yep.
So when you get to adversity, don't look at it as adversity, look at it as an opportunity for change.
Because a lot of times you'll walk away feeling like you were wronged or cheated when maybe you just didn't really address it fully.
Or maybe you didn't need to be in that situation anymore.
True.
Yeah. Okay. We want to hear your thoughts, of course. Find us on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com, and that'll show you how to find us everywhere. And until next week, we'll talk to you later.